Did Abraham Lincoln's deep depressions make him a better president to lead the U.S. through civil war? Why did Marilyn Monroe's death by suicide coincide with an upswing in her movie career? I'm Dr. Gail Saltz, and on my podcast, Season 2 of Personology, I'll be joined by amazing experts to delve into the minds of famous historical figures. If you want to know what really made exceptional people tick, then take a listen to Personology. Find Season 2 of Personology on January 25th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm just making sure y'all know that I got a podcast called Carefully Reckless on Black Effect Network. That's where I tell all my business that y'all already know and carefully comment on other people's business, too. It's respectable but messy at the same time, so make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless every Wednesday, that's hump day, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Okay. Hello, bro. Mm-hmm.
Boom. Take two. Episode, did you say 127?
127, sir.
Episode, I'm going to get this together at some point. Episode 127, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we in separate buildings.
Yeah, we in separate buildings.
I usually say, yo, we back in the building. We're in separate buildings. Josh is at his crib. I'm in my crib.
Yeah, man, I got the AIM flag behind me repping, you know what I mean?
Josh is holed up in his bunker waiting for the revolution to jump off.
Yeah, I just fought off some people for some antibiotics for my tooth, you know what I mean?
I'm imagining you in the Northeast just like if like a truck of supplies rides up the block. Just hop on the back of that shit.
Yeah, we pull up like the long chain and shit that like flips the truck over.
Oh, the
and
joint.
Then we just raid that joint.
The roadblock joint, yeah. Just throw it out. Blow all the tires and shit.
Yeah, then we just raid the truck, you know what I mean?
This shit is crazy, yo. We're like under a self-quarantine.
Yeah.
A lot of major cities, the officials have issued like stay-at-home orders.
Shelter in place.
This shit is so weird, yo. I've never experienced anything like this.
No, the other day I took my mom to the market like super early, because you know, like seniors can go early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I took my mom super early to the market, and like just everybody's got their mask on, and
right,
and like it feels. It's orderly, like people aren't like shoving people out the way to get shit. And like it's kind of orderly, but it just feels like dystopian. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially in the sense of like the market I took her to. There's a big Target in that. There's a big Target there, and there's a bunch of other stores. And like only places where cars were the supermarket and at Target, and like that's it. The rest of the parking lot is dead.
Yeah.
Which is just weird, man.
It's weird. Yesterday, we were supposed to record this on Sunday.
Yeah.
But then the stay-at-home order came through on the line, and it made me nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm already had immune issues. Like, I'm not trying to fuck around.
Yeah, your white blood cells is already, like, you know what I mean?
They're like that movie, Miracle of St. Anna, like at the end, after they fought like World War II and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we canceled recording yesterday, but listen, I popped out to get groceries for the next week or whatever, and nothing was open. We went to the Italian market. The entire Italian market was not a thing.
Yeah.
There were like a couple people selling.
Wow,
like,
that's gotta be weird, yo. Like just walking through there and nothing is there.
Cause them motherfuckers be out there rain, sleet, or snow.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, for the past 100 years, however long the Italian market's been a thing. But we went to the Asian market.
Uh huh.
like a block or two away, and they was all in there popping. It was like mad people in there.
Yeah, well, I just the Asian market down the street, like there's like a line of stores that's all Asian joints, and they were all open, all selling the food, like dining in, everything. Like they just ignored the order, chilling. They just ignored that order.
We was in that motherfucker grabbing like packs of rice and shit.
Yeah.
Grabbing mad produce, mad bags of chicken and stuff. There were like hipsters with like like the Supreme. And like one boy came in, he had like the Supreme bucket hat with like the Steezy, his mask on.
Yeah.
I'm looking like, y'all, you just stylish during the outbreak?
Hey, man, there's no reason no reason not to be fly, dog.
Listen, like,
you might get you a little Corona Bay while you out there shopping.
While you out there grabbing your shit. Dog, I tapped Liz. I was like, yo, look at my man. He just came through, like, masked up, but was still Steezy. I'm like, all right,
yeah, I man. Guess. Come shelter in with me, baby. Like, you know what I mean?
Dog, I know... all the dating sites. I've never been on like Tinder or any of that stuff. I've been like in a relationship.
Yeah, you missed that whole wave,
for a while. My mom's calling me. But I know that the dating site stuff is like a desert right now. Because you're not inviting anybody to come to your crib, right?
If you do it, you just post like, yo, look at all this toilet paper I got. Like, you know what I mean?
Post your results.
Yeah. You're like, yo,
like,
yeah,
yo, I'm negative, baby.
That COVID ain't got me. Like, I'm straight. Or, like, you just post pictures of, like, yo, look, I still got, like, chicken. Like, you know what I mean? You post, like, your fridge pictures and shit. Like, that's your thirst trap? That's a thirst trap now. Like, your fridge.
Just, like, pictures of all the produce, all the non-perishable goods.
Like, yo, look at all these cans of soup I got.
Oh, man. Yeah, our fridge, since this whole thing, we generally... we'll have days where like, or rather weeks where we're like, we don't cook at all and we're eating out a lot. And then we'll be like, yo, we gotta chill. We gotta get it together. And then we'll cook a lot and like stuff the fridge.
Yeah.
Our fridge is like at capacity right now.
For real.
Yeah, yo. Cause I'm not fucking around with like ordering no pizza, no shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know who making it, what they testing, right? Now, yeah. I had a lot of groceries, and then my kids stayed for 4 days, and now I ain't got no more groceries. They ate me out of fucking house and home.
Ate everything.
No, they were going. They were here like last weekend, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I took them home Tuesday, and like I had nothing left. Bare bones, yo.
So, kids are the worst with that shit.
Yeah,
too.
You know, they eat because they're bored, like, you know what I mean? And, you know, my oldest daughter, like, I ain't going outside, I ain't catching that Rona, like. So, you, like.
Just, with that Rona.
Yeah, so she don't want to even leave the crib. So, like, they really just, like, hold up in the house. They eat because they bored, they ain't got shit else to do. Yeah. I went to the market, grabbed some more stuff. They came back like 2 days later and they ate everything else. I had to go to the market again the other day, dog. I just took them home like 2 days ago.
I ain't gonna hold you. If I had kids during this shit, I'd put them up for adoption.
Dog, I legit, like,
figure out something.
My kid's mom just said, like, North Carolina said they're not opening their schools back up till May 16th or something like that, like in the middle of May. I was like, yo, if my kids was here every day to the middle of, I don't know what I do. Like, they may have to go fend on their own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do like Hansel and Gretel. Just send them out. Send them out to the wild woods. Like, yo, whatever you kill, bring that shit back home.
They don't stop eating. Drinking everything that's in the crib, like,
right.
There's no storing nothing because they go through it. Like, yo, I bought 3 packs of Gushers on Friday.
Uh-huh.
3 boxes of Gushers when I took my mom to the market. They ate all 3 boxes by like Saturday.
Are you serious?
Dog, all 3 boxes of Gushers, like 1 box a piece, dog. Like, just killing it, man.
I imagine them just like juggling them in their mouth, like,
yeah. Like, how you eat that. But then it's like, there's only like six of them in the thing. So like, they just was like, bang, 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 bang. Like,
just going through them.
In 20 minutes, they like, all right, the gushers is gone. Now what else do I eat?
Yeah, right? What else you got? I ain't gonna hold you. I feel like I've been working a lot during this whole thing, but I do feel like I've been eating out of, like you said, like sheer boredom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cause you're like, there, you might as well, like, oh, I'm here, I might as well eat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, and like you said, since you're not ordering out, like, you're just sitting there, like, yo, I'll eat. And a lot of times, like, I think I don't, like, when I cook sometimes, I don't think I make as much as if I went out to eat. Like, if I went out to eat, I'd get a bigger, fuller plate. And, like, when I'm in the crib, like, I'm only, like, I made stir-fried chicken and brown rice the other day. And it's like, I don't know, it wasn't as big of a plate as I probably normally would have ate if I was out. So, like, I eat it, and, like, 2 hours later, I'm like, I'm going to get something else to eat.
Yeah.
Like, killing me, man. Like, I can't eat. Like, I'm trying to, like, pace myself. Plus, like, now I can't even work out because the gym closed.
Right.
Like, killing me, dog.
I'm, once it's, like, raining now, but, once it gets a little bit warmer, if we're still, doing this, like, self-quarantine thing, I want to start going out on our roof deck and working out.
Word.
Because, like, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to come out of this whole thing, you know, a much more fit, better person, or it's going to fucking break me.
Or we going to be like, yo, we had to get a backhoe to, like, break out a wall in his crib to, like, lift him out.
What's the shit? It's like my 600-pound
life. Yeah, my 600-pound life. Yeah.
I'm just podcasting, and you gotta, like, lift me out of the crib to do live shows. I don't want that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm already teetering on the edge.
Yeah.
I don't want that shit.
I feel you. I'm about to get on my, what is that, 99, what is it, 99 diagram, John? I'm just start working out on, like, the streetlights. Yeah.
Doing, like, the pull-ups and shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna just hop up on a pull on a street light and just start doing my pull-ups and shit like that.
Yo, we, the other night, we were, you know, quarantined, but, like, it's like, all right, we can, it's nighttime, so there's nobody on the street. Let's, like, go for a walk just to, like, stretch out and shit. Dog, I swear to God, we walked, I want to say, 4 or 5 blocks from our crib.
Yeah.
And we definitely saw a guy get hit by a car
off
of his bike. Damn. Like, no cat. Like, it was. We were still on Snyder. We were just walking down Snyder. And this dude, I guess he was, like, hitting the corner at the same time a car was coming up behind him fast. And sis, like, hit my man and knocked him off the bike. Damn. Yeah, yo, it was fucking crazy. Like, people, like, running over to see if he was all right. He seemed like he was okay. He just, like, I think he, like, hurt his knee.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yo, it was, like, a whole fucking scene.
Here's the thing, though. Then it's like, damn, now I got to go to an emergency room. We know the emergency room was overrun. Like, everybody who got a nose sniffle was like, yo, I might got the Rona. Like, people please panicking, test me. Yeah. So, like, now you, like, yo, I got to go. Like, that's what happened. Like, I got a tooth. Like, my fucking tooth again. Giving me a problem. I'm supposed to get it pulled on April 1st, but like it got another infection. So I went, or it was like Friday night. So Saturday, my dentist's office was closed, and now they put the shelter in place shit in. So when I called my dentist today, they're like, oh, yo, we're closed. Our office is closed. Like, we'll contact the dentist for you, and like, he could give you some medicine or whatever. I'm like, all right, because I'm like, all weekend, I'm like, yo, I don't know if I could take this. Like, I may have to go to, like, a fucking emergency room, and that's not where I want to go right now. Right. On top of the fact that, like, you're going to be in there and all types of sick people in there breathing and shit. Like,
yeah.
Touching on shit, all types of shit, man.
You got to, like, get, like, a bubble wrap or some shit.
Yeah.
Like the Helly Hansen bubble wrap, you know what I mean? Or, like, your whole body to go to the fucking emergency room right now.
You gotta get one of them, like, big ass bubble balls that they got that you, like, roll down hills in and shit. That's like, yo, I'm gonna roll to the fucking emergency room.
Like my man from the Flaming Lips, just like the big fucking plastic ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, yo.
That shit. Or that, remember the American Gladiators had the big hamster wheel, John? Like, I'm just gonna get this hamster wheel. Should I be all right?
Oh, real shit. Like, I might edit this out. If there was, how do I want to say, like a pop up American Gladiators, like, adult entertainment experience,
like they did the Omex Temple John, the old Nickelodeon John, they did.
I was gonna say, like Double Dare or some shit. Yeah. Oh, you can make bread doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, adults would absolutely be into that.
Yo, when I was a kid, we had, like, this apartment I lived in had, like a rundown, like playground area and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, some old, like, broken picnic table, shit like that, where people were supposed to be, like, picnicking, but them shits is all busted up.
Right.
They would have, like, areas for, like, trash cans, but there was nothing in them. It was just, like, a rusty, like, cylinder joint.
Mm-hmm.
We used to take, like, basketballs, and we would play Powerball joint. You know that joint on the American Gladiators? Yeah, try and dunk the ball in. We used to play that shit on, like, partially grass, partially cement, and, like, rusty metal cylinders. Like, right. We'd be slamming it. I probably got, like, tetanus. Like, you know what I mean?
You're definitely immune to the coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think
if you used to play on that shit.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah,
I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about the virus.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to, like, chill out. Dog, with, like the worry stuff.
Yeah, I understand partially, like, with everything that happened 2 years ago, dog, like, right around this time 2 years ago, too. Like,
like, can I get a regular spring?
Yeah. Yeah, so I completely understand. Like, this is not a time, like, you don't want to play around, man. Take no extra chances. You don't know, like, you're supposed to be, like, completely better, like, but you don't know, like, eternally what kind of, any kind of, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know? I don't know if my immune system is just, like, waiting for the day to, like, fuck me over again.
It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it to take the chance.
Yeah.
Not worth it to take the chance.
My homie Ada, shout out to Ada, fixed my DJ mixer.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because, like, it just, it broke. It was, like, a simple fix, but they worked on it and fixed it. And they hit me up this morning, like, yo, you gonna come grab this joint? But I knew we had to record today, so I was like, yo, I'ma chill. But I'm, like, shook to go grab that joint.
I feel you, dog.
I'm trying, you know what I mean? I'm trying to, like, because I wouldn't catch SEPTA.
Yeah,
like, fuck that. But even, like, Ubering there and picking up the mixer, I'm, like, worried about it.
Yeah, I wonder how many Ubers is even out. Like, you know what I mean? Because, you know, not just, like, people like, yo, I don't want to take no chance and catch it. Just like, yo, there ain't nobody out there going nowhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, when you're outside, it's a weird vibe of, like, the holidays or some shit. Like, because, like, traffic is, like, nil.
It's you done, know what I mean?
But, like, the supermarket is packed. But, like, nothing else. Like, you know what I mean? It's really weird, man.
Yeah. Our block is usually real live. It's usually, like, people up and down all day.
Yeah.
A lot of activity, but the last couple days it's been, like, quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet for this block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So I haven't really been keeping time. But I think we should jump into a break and then we'll come back. A lot of stuff has happened since the last episode. J Electronica put out a record.
Yeah, we'll be talking about J Electronica record.
Yeah, you know, let's jump into a break, come back, and then we'll talk about it.
Definitely.
Word.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hi,
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Boom. Back in effect. So yeah, we were saying before we took a break, Jay Electronica released, could you say this is his debut album?
I don't know, dog. Like, I heard somebody say it's basically Watch the Throne 2, and that is kind of the vibe.
Yeah, yeah. A Written Testimony. It's a collaboration with Jay-Z. Jay-Z is on most of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's wild. A lot of times, there have been instances before when he's kind of announced that he was releasing a record.
Yeah, like three or four times he said he was.
Yeah, you know, or like Just Blaze will be like, you know, oh, Jay Electronica, he coming soon, y'all, and it never happened. But. Apparently, we're living in the last days.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jay Electronica actually dropped an official record, not like, you know, like a MySpace joint or whatever he was dropping back in the day.
I said, not just like a random record. Like, he would do that too, where he would just like, oh, Road to Perdition, here. Like, and just drop it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Better in Tune with the Infinite, here.
Right. Just, yeah, like Lucy joints he would throw out. I don't think you and I have actually talked about it since it came out.
I purposely haven't like even hit you up like, yo, what do you think? So we can talk about it here and get our full thoughts.
What are your first impressions?
I really like it. I wish it was more just him, because I would love to hear just him. You know what I mean?
The same.
And allow him to like explore different avenues and stuff like that. But I do really like some of the stuff when he's talking about like not releasing the album, about like, you know, the pressure.
Yeah, he addresses that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that. I like Jay-Z, so I'm not mad at a bunch of, and Jay-Z's dope on the record. So
yeah.
I'm not mad at that. Here's one thing I would do. I would have flipped the Ghost of Soldier Slim. Which is the first actual record, the first actual song on the album.
Song on it, yeah.
And The Shining.
Ooh.
So
why would you have flipped it?
Because Jay Electronica rhymes first on The Shining. So like the Ghost of Soul, it's your solo album, and the first like MC we hear is Jay-Z.
Right. That was weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I would have I would have flipped those. I'm not trying to shit on like Guru or nobody, like, you know, whoever tracked
whoever sequenced, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I would have did. I would have flipped those two records. I think it works too, because The Shining is a hype joint, you know, switch you hear like, yo, this shit gonna get me open like that, like I'd have been like, yo, we flipped that, it opens the album on like a real high note, shit like that, like. Yeah. I mean, the Ghost of Soldier Slim does too, but it just fits better because it's like, well, Jay rhymes first on this one. Like, Electronica rhymes first on this one. So.
Right, right. And sequencing is hard because a lot of times you're in it. Like, you're in the process.
Yeah.
You're working on these records. You've been listening to them for however long. And sometimes when listeners hear it, somebody who's objective and who's, like, removed from the whole process, they'll have like an insight, like you just said, like, yo, this should be here, this should be switched around to that.
Yeah.
So it makes, you know, it makes sense. As far as Jay on this record, see, when 444 came out, I liked the vulnerability that Jay kind of allowed himself as an MC on that record. I didn't love his flow and his phrasing. As somebody who's like known for that, for really being in pocket and all of that. I don't love post 444 like spoken word flow, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I feel you.
And there's a lot of that on this record.
There is.
You know what I'm saying? So like, there's been a whole debate on Twitter, because niggas on Twitter debate everything. You know what I mean? There's been a whole debate on Twitter about Jay-Z, whether or not Jay-Z killed J-Elect on this record. I don't see it.
For this simple fact, Jay Electronica does that flow better. That like spoken word poetry thing.
Right.
Like something with like his timing in his head, he's able to do. And part of it too is he produced the majority of this project.
Right.
So like, for when you're doing that kind of like off, like that, like spoken word type poetry, that like not so much of like being in the pocket, like you kind of have to have the timing in your head like perfect.
Yeah.
And I think he does that. He does that, and part of that could be just like he produced the track, like, so he has the track so well in his head that, you know, you're a producer, you know how many times you listen to that track before like you do any kind of finishing to it or anything like that. Like, he's probably listened to it 1,000 times,
right?
So it has like in his head, he probably has the timing down perfect.
Yeah, I think that as far as like with what you said with like producing the records, I think that another thing that comes along with it is that stylistically, this is his world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jay can kick that, like, you know, selling dope shit.
Yeah.
He can kick that get money shit. He can kick that, you know, I don't know, hanging out in the fucking Hamptons, you know, black capitalist excellence shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's his aesthetic and his style. This reflective, like introspective, spiritual, esoteric world is Jay Electronica's bag. Like that's how he rhymes, and that's like the world that he builds as an MC. And Jay, to me, feels like he's trying to inhabit that world.
Oh, so you're not feeling Hovtep?
I hate that. That's the thing. I hate that motherfuckers are so clever. Look, they like,
here's the thing,
came up with that shit.
How much more like wild shit are we gonna get like that? Because people have nothing but time to be on Twitter now. Like, there was an excuse not to be on Twitter before. Now motherfuckers just like, yo, I'm in my crib all day. Like, you know what I mean?
We're going to get, like, comedy gold over the next, like, 2 months, especially in, like, rap Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool to see Jay. It feels like Jay helped Midwife this record, too.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if left to JLX's own advice.
Shit would have sat on some fucking, on some hard drive somewhere and to never see the light of day.
Right. If it really feels like Jay, I meant to say Hov, it really feels like Hov really kind of like pulled J-Elect to release this record, like finish it and release it.
Absolutely.
Left his own devices, I meant to say. It seems like J-Elect, like you said, he would have thrown out like a Lucy here or there, and we would have been like, oh, this shit is crazy. And we wouldn't have gotten like the full project. I appreciate that a broader conversation is being had around Jay Electronica, and it's been going on for a couple years about whether or not an MC needs a classic album or whatever to be considered one of the greats. I'm of the opinion that you don't necessarily need to have like the classic album, you know what I mean? If you look at other genres like, you know, like rock or less so jazz, soul, R&B. Somebody like James Brown has like hood like classics,
yeah,
but doesn't necessarily have a record that we would consider like the big classic record like Miles Davis has with like the Kind of Blue
or songs in the, or like Stevie has like Songs in the Key of Life. Or
exactly, you know what I mean? Because the medium was different. It was singles based medium.
Absolutely.
You know, hip hop wasn't always an album oriented medium.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
It didn't start that way at all.
At all. You know what I mean? So a lot of the early greats, Grandmaster Caz doesn't have what we would consider like a great solo classic. But there's no way you can't tell me that Grandmaster Caz isn't one of the greatest MCs that ever lived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Earlier cats like Eddie Chiba, you know what I mean? Busy B. All of these cats, Busy like, in the old school, before hip-hop became, like, album-oriented, these people didn't need classics to be considered great. And I don't think they do now. Nowadays, if there's anybody... J-Elect, on the day before this record dropped, if there's anybody in the modern era who could be considered an all-time great without a classic album, it would have been him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's out there. The response has been kind of mixed. Have you heard, absolutely. Like, what have you been hearing as far as like people's reaction to it?
I've heard a lot of it like, oh, well, this ain't even really a Jay Electronica solo album. Jay, of course, like we talked about, like Jay killed you on your own shit. You know, to others going like, yo, this shit is a certified classic.
Yeah, it's been weird across the board. Yeah, I've like, heard people. Well,
I mean, part of it is there's no nuance in like internet culture,
right?
So like, either something's like the greatest thing ever, or it's fucking trash. Like, it's there's terrible, no,
yeah,
there's no real nuance really when like in like internet reviews. So, I think there's no place for people to just be like, yo, it's a really good album. Like, I really enjoyed it. I personally do not think it's a classic or anything like that. Nope. But I do really enjoy it. I do like the record. I just think I've seen a lot of people go like, oh, well, it's, you know, this joint is trash and blah, blah, blah. And I think part of the problem is, like, expectations, dude. Like,
yeah.
You know, you build up 10 years of expectations, like releasing anything but Illmatic would have been, is going to be not, you know what I mean? Like, people are just not going to be happy.
Yeah, I feel like a few months ago we talked about it on an episode. Nas was saying that he doesn't want to celebrate Illmatic every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's kind of like over it.
And but I know it's the 26th anniversary of Illmatic. Like, okay, bro, man.
I'm seeing people writing articles on, like you said, an album's 26th anniversary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can revisit an album any year.
Yeah, but
like, these anniversary posts, y'all bugging. You know what I mean with that? Like, it's not a significant date. Nah. You know?
10, and 20, Nas, 50. Like, we're good at that. You know what I mean?
Nas probably feels an incredible weight. Like, the weight of history, the weight of expectations behind a record that he wrote when he was like 17.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how mad I would be if like motherfuckers still held me to some shit that I created when I was a teenager?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is, it's like for him to keep like championing Illmatic, it's Al Bundy and Four Touchdowns at Polk High.
Right.
Like, well, I've never done anything past this point in my life.
Right.
And as an artist, like, that's the worst thing you can do is be like, yo, I've never done anything. Like, that rhyme I wrote in 12th grade, best rhyme I ever wrote.
Yeah, that was the peak.
Yeah, like, I mean, dog, you know how fucking, like, how much that would hurt as an artist and how much pressure that is to be like, it sucks.
Let me ask you, I just thought of this as we were talking, just like a thought experiment. If Jay Electronica had never released A Written Testimony and never released any album, who's had more pressure, him or Nas, like the post-Illmatic pressure?
Ooh,
like, what's worse? Have one classic and then everybody hold you to that forever?
Yeah.
Or release nothing. And people are like, yo, you never did it. You never made it happen.
I honestly think the Nas thing is more pressure.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, with the Jay Electronica thing, it's just like, yo, he just disappeared. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that type of, like, oh, well, he, you know, he dropped a bunch of singles, and it was next thing you know, he was in Nepal. Like, you know what I mean? So,
right.
I mean, that kind of fits his aesthetic. Like, I think there's a thing with that where it's like, you can build an aesthetic around that. You can build
a mystique
around that of like, yo, this dude who was like going to be the greatest, he's Earl of Goat, Man of Goat. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Nas is, you know, dude who like is Randolph Childress, who was like cooking at Wake Forest. And now it's like, yo, he didn't do nothing in the league, which isn't true for Nas. Like, Nas
absolutely did something in the league, but yeah. I get the metaphor.
Yeah, like, it's the idea that, like, oh, well, when you was, like, a kid, you dropped, like, the greatest album ever. And since then, like, you know what I mean? You know, it was written was I, but, like, after that, right. You know what I mean? That's hard. That's a hard thing to, like, live up to.
Yeah. I agree. It probably agitates Nas more than the whole no album thing agitated Jay Electronica.
Well, they say, like,
you know what I mean?
Harrison Ford, like, hates Star Wars.
Really?
And it's because, like, people just come up to him. Like, he'll go, he's, like, you know, promoting some movie he did. And, like, he'll always get Star Wars questions.
What?
And he's like, yo, I did those movies 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Like, I don't want to talk about that movie anymore. Like,
oh, man.
And people are just like, yeah, but, like, remember that time, you know, Princess Leia said, I love you, and you said, I know? Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, cool? Yeah. Like, he's like, well, like, why do you shoot your pistol, like, with a loosey-goosey hand? Like, he's probably like, dog, I don't want to talk about that. Like, you know what I mean?
Shit.
I'm here to talk about Air Force One. Like, let's, like, right. You know what I mean? Dives up probably feels the same way.
It's weird sometimes, because a lot of, excuse the noise in the background, my cats decided to take a shit. while we're recording this. Sorry, y'all. But sometimes a lot of the work that I do as a music writer is around like the history of music.
Yeah.
So I interview folks about records that they made 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel weird because like, I'll be interviewing cats about like this classic that they made, and they'll be like, yeah, you know, that was all good, but check out my new joint.
Yeah.
And I always want to check out your new joint, but I'm not necessarily going to have the same emotional attachment to,
absolutely,
you know, this like this classic that you made or whatever. So yeah, I think it would be worse to be in like, or I would say worse, but like more annoying to be in the Nas position,
yeah,
than in the Jay Elect position. But Jay Elect did, you know, release this record. I think it's good.
Yeah,
I don't think it's great.
Nah, it's you good know album. What
I mean, it ain't trash like people are saying. Nah. Some I've seen cats that don't like him already, or yeah, you know, yeah, think yeah. He's overrated or overhyped or whatever. Those are mainly the people who are like, oh man, this shit is trash. One thing that was interesting that I did notice, stylistically, it kind of put me in the mind of, you know, the like Derringer, Griselda,
yeah,
like Rock Marciano Steez, where a lot of this stuff, he's just rhyming over samples.
Yeah.
Or like a loop. It's not even, you know, like there's no drums or anything, but he was also he did that early in his career too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Eternal Sunshine. Yeah, Act One, Eternal Sunshine is just a loop from the soundtrack.
Yeah, Voodoo Man, same thing. Yeah. Where he's just rhyming over a loop with no drums or really no production, quote yep. unquote. But it's interesting to see that being the Steez that he's kind of exploring on this joint.
Yeah, and I also think, like, I think part of, like, the huge criticism he's gotten is, like, oh, well, he's never released, like, music, blah, blah, blah. But it's, like, I think that's a lot from people who have only heard, like, Exhibit A and Exhibit C, and you know, like a few other little joints that he put out. Like me and you both had like the best of Jay Electronica that had like 50 songs on it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. So, I've heard a bunch of this dude rapping.
Yeah, so I'm not like, I was never in a position, or you were in a position where we're like, yo, we have to have an album from dude because we don't have enough material from him. Like, you could go like search the YouTube archives. There's, you know, there's 50, 60 songs you could find from Jay Electronica.
Yeah. And he's been dropping, you know, he'll do like a guest spot here and there, or a little single here and there.
Yeah, like that joint he got with Rhapsody is insane.
Right.
When he was on Prime, the Prime album, that joint was insane.
Right.
So, I mean, he'll drop, like, he'll pop up on, like, weird shit, too, sometimes. Like, he popped up on the Emily Sandy album from a few years back.
That was a good song.
Yeah, and it's a really dope song. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I was never in a position where I'm like, yo, I have to hear from dude. He has to drop an album. Like, he dropped it. I was on the fucking, the joint you posted, the listening party joint. I got on that shit. I was listening in there, and then as soon as it was available, people was like roasting him in the comments on there because he was like, "Yo, it'll be available at midnight everywhere," and like it wasn't ready.
That's when I was watching that shit, he was like, "Yo, it's going up. It's gonna be everywhere at midnight." When I say at 11:59, I was on Spotify trying to find that joint, and then when it didn't go up, I was like, "Here we go."
So like I posted when I shared the link that you posted, I was like, this might be the only time we ever hear the album. So like I'm listening now.
Right.
No,
that's
interesting
to me too, that he did it like that. Like put played the whole thing in the studio.
Yeah.
And then decided to put it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's dope too. Like it kind of gives like a cool intimacy to listening. Like I remember Kanye did that with the Nas album and his album, right? Was it his album?
He did the one, the Pablo one was at like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And everybody was listening.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it. I enjoy like that kind of like little motif of like, oh, we're going to give you like, you know, we're going to let you listen to it. And you can see what like, what they really enjoy about the album.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's always kind of like shady too, because though they have like their homies in the studio. And of course, their homies is like, "Yo, this shit,
this is crazy, son." Like bigging them up.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, when they were doing the live stream, you could tell they had like some NOI brothers in the studio.
Yeah.
Because you heard the one boy like, "Yes, sir," like, doing that shit the NOI niggas be doing. I was like, "Yo, this shit is like."
Well, you'd catch them every once in a while when they would like pan around with one of the cameras, like some dude there with like a red bow tie and like
just like standing on point. Yeah, yo.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, like favorite songs on Written Testimony.
I love Flux Capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the one right after that? Spirit of the Fruit, or what's the name of that joint?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit. Yeah.
That might be my favorite one.
Yeah, No ID.
Or my second favorite.
Yeah, No ID killed that joint.
Yo.
Yeah,
No ID. People need to get No ID on more stuff.
Yeah. I'm surprised didn't work a ton more after 444.
Right.
I wonder
he might not want
to
like.
I was just about to say,
he's jumping on everybody's shit.
I wonder if it's a thing of like, well, he kind of wants to like work on projects where he's like sole producing or like producing majority of it. That kind of vibe
for specific artists.
Yeah, because you want to build. Yeah, exactly. He wants to build like the energy of the album type thing.
Yeah.
Which, and if I was a producer, like I kind of feel like that would be my best way to work.
Yeah,
is to work with like, yo, let's work on like the whole idea of this album together, as opposed to being like, all right, yo, here's a track I made.
That's interesting you say that, because I'm noticing that less so in like the underground scene, but more so in like mainstream hip hop, you're getting a lot of people who are like an artist linking with like one producer.
Yeah.
And seeing out like a whole, I don't say just fully fleshed out, but like an intentional working relationship throughout a project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm thinking of the boy, Kenny Beats, who does stuff. He'll do something for like, he'll produce like a whole record for like Rico Nasty or somebody.
Yeah.
That's more so in like the more popular spheres. Folks are kind of like going back to that where they'll use like one or two producers. The Baby has like one producer that he uses generally. It's more so in the underground, you'll get people like, yo, I got beats from Alchemist or Madlib. And it'll be like nine people making beats. But like on the like mainstream shit, it is kind of like you said with like the 444 thing where it'll be like just Jay and No ID doing the whole record.
Yeah, especially I think if you're going to do it, like when Jay did it years ago with the Blueprint, there's like four producers on there. But like aside from the Timberland track, everything is in the same vibe.
Right. You could tell they were all at Baseline.
Exactly.
Working on that
stuff. Yeah. Yo, Kanye did that joint. I'm go hit. And then No ID in the fucking, you know what I mean? Or Bink in the studio. Like, yo, I'm going to fuck this joint up. Listen, yo, come listen to you like that vibe. Listen to this. Like, you know what I mean? So, I think you get a little less of that now, like with like, yo, everybody's at Baseline working on something because like that just doesn't exist anymore. People are just like in the crib, like, yo, all right, I'm gonna send you the stems for that track. Like, you know what I mean? So I think you get a little less of that. So I think that's why like somebody to like lock in with one producer or you do hear that with this album is with so much of it being produced by Jay Electronica, it's a, you know what I mean? Like it has a singular focus in a sense.
It sounds coherent and it sounds like it's its own unique thing. I don't love everything on it. Mm-hmm. Universal Soldier.
I like that joint too.
That might be in like my favorite, like whatever tier, top five, top 10 of like Jay Electronica songs, Universal Soldier might be up there. Yeah. That shit is incredible.
Yeah, I like that joint a lot too. And I like The Shining a lot.
Right.
I like that joint a lot too. I like how like the beat switches up. Shit like that. So I like that. Yeah. Like that little chunk, like that little like that, that's like a 5-song run or whatever, 4-song run. That in the middle of it, like that is a solid, solid, solid chunk of the album and it's really good.
How'd you feel about him and Hov's chemistry?
I think they have really good chemistry together.
Yeah.
I feel like they recorded in the studio together. It wasn't like, yo, give me a verse. Like, you know what I mean? That type of thing. It felt like they both were like at whatever studio they use now. And like sitting there like, yo, we're going to knock this out. Let's record. Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's it's like they were together. I think that helps. Like, I think when dudes are just like, yo, send me a verse, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think there's what, like, Drake is pretty good at that because I'm sure he's not flying all over to guest verse on everybody's album. Like, he's pretty good at finding, like, the vibe of the song and getting in, like, in step with it. I mean, it helps when you can, like, switch styles.
I was going to say, he's, like, really malleable.
Yeah.
Stylistically, too.
Yeah.
Jay, Electronica, and Hov are more so, I don't want to say set in their styles. They have, like, really strong, identifiable styles that they don't deviate from too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, like chemistry wise, it's sometimes it's good, sometimes it like clashes a little bit for me.
Yeah.
But they're not Drake, who's somebody who's he can be pretty much anything on a track.
Yeah, if Drake was on this album, he'd be like really like, you know what I mean? It is like super like, you know, conspiracy theory underground vibe. You know what I mean?
He rapping probably, about the pyramids.
Yeah,
he would have
barred you down all crazy. Yeah.
Right. I feel like he could do that. Like, I see. I've had a couple conversations with folks, mainly on the internet, who are like backpacker heads, and they're like, "Oh man, Drake, he can't rap." I'm like, "Dog, if you think Drake couldn't jump on like a record with like Mac Hami or something, and like,
dog,
or like Earl or some shit, and like bar it down, you're wildin'. Yeah. He absolutely could do that.
Yeah,
he grew up doing that
exactly." Exactly.
You know what I mean? Okay, so yeah, let's jump into break number two.
Yep.
And then we can start wrapping up.
Yep, no problem.
Word.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and It Could Happen Here. And boy, it does seem to be happening here. I'm going to guess most of the people listening to this are deeply concerned with what they saw happen in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And I'm here to tell you it was a fascist insurrection, an attempt by fascists to take over our democracy. And it didn't happen in a historical vacuum. There have been numerous attempts, many of them successful, by fascist movements to take over democracies over the last century. In order to protect yourself, in order to protect your family and your very freedom, you need to understand this history and the history of the different anti-fascist movements that have fought, sometimes successfully, often unsuccessfully, to stop the same things from happening in their own countries. The knowledge of this history is important, and it's maybe the only thing that can save us. So, if you're as concerned as I am, listen to Behind the Insurrections on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boom. And we're back. So we're going to start wrapping up a little bit. Before that, we're going to check out or talk about some new music that we've been checking out. What have you been listening to, Josh?
The new Lil Uzi Vert record. I didn't.
Shout out Uzi.
Yeah, shout out Uzi. Philly, baby. I didn't listen to the expanded edition one that they released like the next week. Mm-hmm. I listened to the original, the Eternal Ataki, I think it's called, or something like that.
I think that's what how you say it.
Yeah. First of all, the album art is insane.
Right.
Like,
he's really dope with like this like whole anime.
Yeah. And like
futuristic.
If you look at it in like an app on your phone, like the album art changes. Like it, like the UFO like is there, then it like dips down and disappears, and then it comes back. Like, it's really dope. Whoa. Like, and like the sky changes on the planet. Like, you're looking out at space, and like the space changes. It's really dope. Like, whoever came up with those ideas, like, I'm sure like he has a part in that. Right. It's dope. Like, listen, man, in a day and age when like a million people can drop stuff and blah blah blah, you got to bring something different.
Something to kind of like catch people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I really like this album, man. You know, it's not like, listen, we've talked about this before. Dude isn't making music for, you know, almost 40s. Like, you know, like what
our
I mean?
Demographic.
Yeah, like he's not making music for dudes that are like in their late 30s.
Right.
But my kids love this record, and I listened to it. Like, my daughter was on me, like, yo, you gotta listen to it. You gotta listen to it. You gotta listen to it.
That's so dope.
Yeah, and I planned to. Like, I had definitely planned to listen to it regardless. And so I threw it on, actually, when we went to go on the way down to go interview Jordana Elizabeth, our last episode.
Yeah.
I was listening to that, and it's really good, man. I think first joint, Pluto, that joint is insane. It's just a really fun, listenable record. If you haven't listened to Uzi before, I think this is the album to listen to him on.
This the one, yeah.
I think it's the most accessible as far as, like, it's a little weird at times and all that kind of shit. And, like, he's, you know, he has his own influences. So, like,
he's a character.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, but
that doesn't surprise me.
But I think this is the most accessible album he's ever put out.
Nice.
So, I think the production is really dope. And I think it's just like, he doesn't, he's not barring you down. That's not what Uzi does. But like, he's giving you a couple little, you know, little gems in there, and he's saying little slick shit, and he's doing a good job with it. Like, I really listened to this and was like, yo, I like this album a lot. So I definitely would say go check that joint out.
Nice. Yeah, I listened to this woman. She's like an MC, singer, songwriter, guitar player from Canada. Her name is Witch Prophet.
Okay.
And she put out an album called DNA Activation.
Uh-huh.
It's really fucking dope.
Really?
I'm about to check that out. A lot of it is like really like vibey, chill shit, like her singing on top of like beats, and then there's like some like live instruments happening, some like sample shit happening. And her family, I can't think of I think she's Eritrean. So her family's like East African.
Okay.
And the whole album is about like family, and I mean, it's called DNA Activation. So it's about like family and this like continuity of like a bloodline and all of that. And each song is named after a different member of her family.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. It's really fucking cool. She is Witch Prophet, DNA Activation. She worked on a lot of the production with I'm blanking on her producing partner's name, but the music is really fucking dope, and it's Word. like perfect, you know, like I want to just say chill and laid back as like a descriptor, but it's a really like beautiful record.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to check that out. I like the idea that it's named after like every song is named after body and their family.
It's really cool. I wrote about it for Bandcamp's like album of the day series. So yeah, it's there's a more detailed
like description. Breakdown,
that they'll be posting.
I wonder, one other artist I think people should check out, I think they would enjoy. I actually got put down with them through another podcast that I listened to. Her name is Joy Crooks. That's CROOKES. She's an English artist. She's Bangladeshi and Irish.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But she has like a really jazzy like singing voice. Like the like if you listen to like Baduism, her voice sounds like Erica's on Baduism.
What? Nice.
Like the song, like the song "Apple Tree" is like that style, is what this young lady is singing. Like it's really dope though.
She's, Joy Crooks,
really dope. Okay, I think folks would really like her. Yeah, I think folks would really like her. She has like a really like jazzy, and like there's like shit. Like it's crazy too, because like her music sometimes has like such changes in it. Like there's this song. It's called Let Me Mother or something like that. It starts off, it sounds like a really dark and ominous sounding joint. And then like the music just changes and it's just like this really upbeat, like uplifting song.
Flip the switch.
Yeah, it's really dope. Definitely check her out. Joy Crooks. I think a lot of people would really like her.
Okay. Word.
But other than that, you know, hey man, wash your hands. You know what I mean?
Wash your motherfucking hands, dog.
Stay the fuck away from people. Give people they social distance.
Bro, it's crazy. I was at the post office mailing out memorabilia tapes. I came in with like bags of cassettes. Shout out to everybody who bought a cassette off of me in the past like week or so. So I was at the post office just mailing like bags of tapes to people all around the world, and folks were not social distancing at all. I'm standing at the like at the counter at the post office, and the woman who's helping me is like, "Sir, can you move?" And I'm like, "Me? Like, you helping me?" But I look behind me, dog. This boy got out the line and just decided to stand back, like right behind me. So I realized she was talking to him, and I'm like, "Yo, my man, like, why are you up on me?" And this other lady got out of line and was like standing like right next to me while I'm at the counter. The line is like way back there. Like, why are y'all
People,
in my space?
People aren't respecting like the 6 feet shit. Like, you know what I mean?
They don't respect the apocalypse.
No, they're not even that respecting it. Dog, like, I don't think about it. Like, they talk about like not touching your face. One thing I realized, I touch my face at least like 100 times a day, dog.
Right.
Like, they're
all
like,
the time. Sometimes I'm just like,
yeah, like, don't rub your eyes. I'm like, every 5 seconds, just like, yo, rub my eyes and shit. Like, it's really hard to like not do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried. I'm worried about how bad my beard and stuff is gonna look now that they done closed every barbershop, dog.
It just gotta go.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it, yeah.
Shaving any beards?
One thing I thought about not shaving my head for like the whole quarantine.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And like just seeing what grows. Like,
what if your whole shit just grow back?
A dog. I come out here with the Nick Wright. My shit just like flopping around like Nick Wright shit in like, it.
Dog, that would be you. God's blessing.
Exactly.
For us not spreading the disease.
Exactly.
We come out beard raggedy, but your hairline comes.
Yeah, I mean, I can get my beard lined up, no worries. You know what I mean? Like, soon as this shit over. Although, I know my barber was open like the other day after they were not supposed to be open. Like,
my man Mark, shout out to Mark. He texted me and was like, yo, my barber about to open the shop at 7 a.m. and sneak niggas in. Why y'all go to the barbershop? Stay the fuck in the crib. Why are y'all doing that?
I got a straight razor in the crib. I'll line myself up for real. Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. I did seriously think about that. I was like, yo, you know what? Maybe I won't shave for the whole time I'm not like, you know, like when we locked in. Then I was
let's
like,
do it. Like we both do it and then we take pictures, yeah. Show niggas our hairline.
Yeah, I'm with it, yeah. Dog, I was so scared. Like, I'm so scared. Like, I don't need another reason to get like wildly depressed and when my Jake just right. Like got like one or two stray hairs up here and shit. I'm good.
When I was in the hospital, niggas was coming to see me and my shit was real crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, mind you, I was like half out of my mind.
Exactly.
And, like,
yeah.
My lungs had collapsed and everything. But I was still conscious of like the hairline situation.
You tell Alyssa, like, yo, bring me a hat.
Shout out to my brother, who I love with all my heart. He came to the barbershop and was like, I mean, came to the hospital while I was in bed and was like shaving my head for me.
Yeah.
So that my shit wasn't all crazy.
You coming, like, people coming to see you got like a do-rag on, like, yo, no, like, you know what I mean? Like,
like, nah, I'm chilling. Why are you wearing a hat? Exactly. I see you. Don't worry about it.
Why you got like a Phillies fitted hat on? Like, nah, you know.
Do-rag under it. Yeah, exactly. Like, nah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure, you know what I mean? Yeah. Nah,
you don't want
to
see what's happening.
Nah, I don't think people want that, dog. People don't want to see, you know. God took our hairlines so he'd expand the rest of our lives. You know what I mean?
he took my hairline and expand my consciousness.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You know definitely. What I'm saying? Definitely. You know, we was almost right wing before we lost our hairlines. You know what I mean?
We had to get on the right side of history.
Exactly.
God damn.
But, yo, okay. We will be back next week. This should actually probably be up at our regular time.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I got what time is it? I'll do my best.
Yeah,
to get it edited and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
I got a bunch of other stuff on deck.
I mean, even if it is, it probably only be hours late. It probably will get up sometime on Tuesday anyway.
Yeah, it won't. Yeah, it won't be crazy.
But other than that, you know, check us out on all the different platforms. Support the sponsors. Holla at Incest Trap and Yoga. Grab yourself an Abolish Ice hoodie. I'm sure Ice is probably taking advantage of this situation and smuggling all types of people. Did you see AOC absolutely. Caught them like flying a bunch of immigrant children on a plane in like New York? She was like walking through the airport at like JFK or LaGuardia or some shit like that, and like Saw ICE like had a bunch of people they was getting like a bunch of kids they was getting ready to put on a plane.
Sneaking onto a plane.
Yeah, and like she shut that shit down. She called a bunch of motherfuckers. Like it was crazy.
She's like a real life Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn.
And we'll be back. Listen, our goal is to keep y'all entertained while this shit is going on as much as humanly possible.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back, you know what I mean, next week. Probably at our regular time. We're trying to really hook up like a good situation for us both as we can't be in the same room anymore. Right. You know, and
we're on house arrest, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean?
We did shit on house arrest before.
That's stuff.
We're gonna do it again.
Right, listen, you know what I mean? I know my limitations. I know like the 15 feet away from the crib I can get before my shit start beeping. Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know what I mean? We'll be back next week, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Raptions, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
News with a new perspective.
News with a Black perspective.
The Black Information Network is the first all-news audio and digital network
for and by the Black community.
Get the podcast and get the biggest news and business stories delivered to you every morning.
Subscribe to the Black Information Network daily and wake up with the latest from the Black Information Network.
Loaded and ready to go when you are.
Listen to the Black Information Network daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm just making sure y'all know that I got a podcast called Carefully Reckless on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human crazy and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.